on today's Compassion Radio.
Sometimes if you don't step outside of your Christian box, you will never see God fully. You just won't. It is a wonderful story because you cannot deny the power of God.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Welcome to our Friday program. We've got a studio full of some new friends today, and we're eager to introduce them to you. Oh, and by the way, welcome to this edition of Compassion Radio, tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. No time to lose. Here's our president, Dr. Norm Nelson, to make introductions.
All right, our guest today on Compassion Radio is a spectacular young couple. And their names, Garrett and Sarah Reed. Garrett and I met, I would say, just a little over a week ago is all, and I began to hear Garrett talk about what God has done in his life and in the life of this couple, and I was so taken by the story that I thought, God wants to communicate through this wonderful couple to those listening who have their ears perhaps attuned to God, but have not been quite ready, let's say, to respond. So, Garrett and Sarah, thanks for being here today. Wonderful to have you on Compassion Radio.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Norm. It's our pleasure.
Garrett, explain a little bit about the kind of business that you have right now, and perhaps how it is that you and I met.
Well, the kind of business I have is I started when I was about 19, 20 years old out of my parents' home. I was working with a friend of mine while I was going to school, and he had a window cleaning business. And so I worked for him for about 9 months while I was going to community college. And then as I was picking up the craft, I go, well, this isn't that hard. I can do this, the window cleaning. So he taught me how to market, and I already knew the skill of how to do the windows. So I started my business out of the house, going door to door, looking for clients. And here I am 30 years later doing the same business.
That's amazing. And Garrett, you were working on our office, at an office right across from us.
Correct. I got this dentist right across the way from your office, and they had moved from another location up the street. And I had been listening to Compassion Radio for several years. And while I was driving by, I was wondering, boy, is that the same radio station that I've been listening to? And so I dropped in actually probably over a year ago and talked to Victoria and gave her a card and just told her a little bit about what we were doing. But not until this year, as you mentioned last week, did we actually meet.
I'm so glad we did. And it's amazing how God uses the practicalities of life and even addresses us with possibilities that, given our life situation, we might never have considered. What I want to ask you about, and perhaps I should ask Sarah about this. Sarah, how is it that you and Garrett became involved in foreign missions? Mm. You have a missionary ministry that is reaching out to a number of countries. How did that happen?
You know, it's a really interesting story, but typically when things seem so out of the spectrum of what you're comfortable with or what you're willing to do, then you know God did it. And that is definitely our story. If you had known us 10 years ago, we loved God, but we both grew up in a bit of a church culture that you went to church, you went to Bible studies, you sang worship songs, and that's what being a Christian really meant.
And Garrett's a PK.
He is.
Right? I am.
He's a good boy. He's the goody-goody boy.
The preacher's kid.
Yes.
Unlike some of us.
Yes, unlike some of us. But yeah, it was, and I mean, I grew up in a very different environment. I grew up in a very tough area. And I used to, you know, walk home from school a mile and a half through some very tough neighborhoods. And so I grew up very closed off, very defensive, very much protect yourself. So that just adds to how people know that this is from God, because you realize when you become an adult and you begin your own relationship with God that is separate from your parents, many times we just bury that, those wounds and those hurts and those aspects of our personality, and we put God on top of it. Well, not until Garrett began getting involved in foreign missions that I realized I'm still the same person. What are you doing over there? You know, we've got to protect our own. There's people here that need help. You know, why are you going across the world? And that really began a journey that has just been incredible. And you sometimes, if you don't step outside of your Christian box, you will never see God fully. You just won't. It is a wonderful story because you cannot deny the power of God.
I couldn't agree more. Just because this is not television, let me say that this couple could be on a magazine cover. Garrett's about, what, 6'4"? And Sarah's 6'2", and they look like a couple of models. And
this is a really dark room. I know that.
And it's hard to imagine, Sarah, you with your height and confidence now, certainly. I don't know what you were like then, that you would have been intimidated in any kind of a situation. You were an athlete, volleyball player, and Garrett was a college basketball player. It's hard to imagine that, but you really had to overcome intimidating circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, you respond to your environment in certain ways, and it wasn't my nature to be much of a fighter early on, but I actually, through junior high and high school, the school that I went to, there was a lot of racial tension. There was a lot of fights, a lot of economic clashing, and due to overcrowding. And so I basically went down the path of I got very tough. And very, very jaded. So that's always been, I met the nicest man in the world. God knew who to give to me because I had a, people have a chip on their shoulder. I mean, I'm missing a whole joint there, basically, is how I walked into the world was I was going to, you know, fight back everything. And so God had to redirect, you know, that. But in doing foreign missions, you have to love people that you have never seen. But because when Christ died, he died not for the crowd standing in front of him, but for all sinners. And we are supposed to be Christ-like. That's a spiritual thing. And so until, I think missions is one of the areas that you can see Christ the most, foreign missions, because you're loving people and giving of your own resources to people that you've never met. That's a Christ-like attribute. That is not, and certainly not, an American attribute. No.
That's so true. Garrett, I know that the call of God on your life was mediated through a church. You grew up in the church. You're a pastor's kid. Tell us how it is that God spoke to your heart and got a hold of you and showed you the possibilities for ministry in something you could not have imagined.
Yes, around probably about 16 years ago, we moved from Orange County to the Riverside County. And we moved from a church group that we had been associated with into an area where they didn't have the same type of group to meet. So we started doing home fellowships. And from home fellowships, I was just driving around one day and drove by a building. And I found out later on it was a Calvary Chapel in the Menifee area. And I was just drawn to go there. And so I started going to church there. And I found out that they had an early prayer meeting at 5:30 in the morning, and I started to join the group. And like all ministries, I believe, this was the time I feel, looking back, that God really got a hold of me, and it was through seeking him through prayer and with other believers. And that spawned all these other things that opened up. God put on my heart to go to Israel, so that was my first international travel. And that was not a missionary thing. That was more educational. But from there on, that same year, they had a short-term missions trip that they went to the Philippines. And the Lord put on my heart to go there. And that's really where it all started. God just started to put things on my heart, and he started to open doors that I never could imagine.
Tell our listeners a little bit about how it is that Sarah came to be involved in this, because if I have the story correct, she was not really into this at the very beginning. Is that true?
That's correct, Norm. I would say when the Lord started to put in my heart to go to the Philippines, I started to go with the same group every year. And for probably about 3 years or so, my wife was not really on board with this. She felt that I was going over there and, in one sense, wasting money, and we could use those resources here because, I mean, there's travel costs, and, of course, you had to pay your full way. Mm-hmm. And so she just wasn't really on board with it until probably about, what would you say, about the fifth, sixth year?
Well, I think it was just a couple of years, because I think listeners can relate to this, is you can theologically understand something. So I was there in my mind. I said, yes, this is good because the Bible says this is good. But mm-hmm. that's a different thing than it being in your heart. So I think that is a big divide that you see in people's, I think, attitude towards missions. I don't believe you'll really find a Christian that would deny that missions work is important and it's valuable. But then when you go from, yes, this is good, we can do this, to then you begin to physically pour out, that is where you begin to, if you examine yourself, see, is this really in my heart? And so that's where I was at. It was until I went my first trip to the Philippines. You are
that's
never
dangerous.
The same.
That changed everything.
It changed everything.
It really is. You bring to this team, and we should indicate the name. You've put together an organization. Your business card is very beautifully designed and has a very important name. It's a biblical word. Tell us what it is.
The organization that we founded is called Ethnos Christian International. The name came from this gentleman that I first met when I went over on my first trip to the Philippines with Calvary Chapel and a group called U-Turn for Christ. There was a gentleman by the name of Roper Salada. And he heard that our group was going to be there in the Philippines. And at the time, he was working with another group called Youth with a Mission, YWAM.
YWAM, sure.
And he, just out of his call on his heart, knowing that we were going to be there, was going to come down and see if he could help or translate. And from that meeting, we met, and it was one of those divine meetings that the Lord kept us in communication for all the years that I kept going back, and he would join our team. And he was the one that actually came up with the name of our organization, Ethnos, recognizing that Ethnos was related to tribes, and our scripture that we have was Revelation 5:9, where it talks mm-hmm. about how he was going to take people from every tribe, every language, every nation. And so from that being on Roper's heart, it was amazing how God put us together, because as my wife would attest to, I am not electronically adept at all. And I don't even remember how it happened, but we stayed in communication for all that time. Hmm. And so by the fifth year that I went back, we started laying the groundwork to have the Ethnos Christian Foundation developed. And I remember sitting on a bench in the middle of the jungle with the stars above the sky, and we had these little lamps that were kerosene lamps out of like old rum bottles. And we were starting to develop the ministry right there. And at that time, you realize this is something that God has done. But God was the one that was just opening the doors, and we were just trying to be obedient to follow. So even at the beginning, I didn't even realize that this was going to happen. I was just going with another team, and my mm-hmm. heart was, I'll just do whatever they want me to do. And from there has spawned a ministry that God has just opened up.
He gave you somebody on site, a local, right?
Correct.
Who had organizational skills. You had no idea that you would meet somebody like that. But he filled in a gap that existed. Am I right about this? And has been the key to the growth of what's happening there. Tell us just a little bit about some of the ventures that Ethnos has launched.
Well, the idea behind Ethnos, as he mentioned, to every, you know, tribe, every tongue, every nation, is to go into the unreached areas. We work currently on two of the bigger islands in the Philippines, one of them being Mindanao, which is actually the south of Mindanao is heavily Islam. So there's a rapidly growing Islamic group in the, on that island. Not to mention there is just a lot of corruption, and there's just a lot of they need the Lord in that area. And so the idea with Ethnos was the main populated areas of the Philippines had been covered. So who was going to go to the places that you can only walk to, you can only ride a horse to, where you were ministering to seven people and you felt that that was worth it? So that is the idea. So to do that, we primarily focus on church planting in very remote, a lot of remote areas. The foundational belief in Ethnos is that the native people can minister to the natives. And so we primarily want to educate pastors. We have several preschools and elementary schools that we're operating to give an education. Unlike America, the Philippines does not have public education. So in certain areas, if you don't pay for it, you're not educated. So we do provide free education to children, which the foundation does support. And it's basically a faith contract with the parents that they come to church. And if they come to church, then we will provide education. And for many of those children, it's their only meal. It's the first time they've ever brushed their teeth. It goes beyond just teaching them to read and write. So those are the foundational church planting, biblical training for pastors, and educating children.
You know, for a number of years, we were on the air in Mindanao.
Wow.
Davao is the, the big city. But also there's another one called Zamboanga. It's right on the water. And both of those cities have been going through tremendous conflict. And it involves the clash of Christian culture with the Muslim influx. I pray that somehow in the future God will enable us perhaps to return to be on the air with the gospel. There in Mindanao. Is there any way that you could have foreseen what God has done with a guy with a window washing business and a mother, a wife and a mother who homeschools two children? All kinds of excuses are built in to your life story. How have you dealt with that? And I want our listeners to really pay attention to this. This is so important. How have you dealt with these practical obstacles, so often regarded as obstacles, to what you are doing?
I think in like all these things that we're doing and that I've learned over the years, it's really about once the Lord finally gets a hold of your heart and you make yourself available, no matter where you are or what you're doing, God can open the doors and lead you. And where He leads, He will provide. And so with us, it's just been a willingness to say, no longer our will, but His will be done. And when we really got serious about that, then He really started to open doors. And just recently, I felt we were in a crossroads with our ministry because I wasn't quite sure whether the Lord wanted us to keep doing Ethnos Christian International or pass it on. But for some reason, He said, no, I still want you involved in it. And He made it very clear. And once again, I think there had been a kind of a going through the motions with just the ministry itself. And God really had to get a hold of me and show me what this is all about. And your ministry, Compassion Radio, has been a part of that to remind me what we have here and what we're supposed to be doing is that we are supposed to be using every bit of our resources, everything that we have for the Lord's work. And so once I went back and saw what the Lord had done in our lives, it put that passion in us to renew and to regenerate and to get busy with the work of God.
And one of Garrett's, you know, favorite sayings, and this is something that has really stuck with me, and I would say it keeps me going in times when I'm struggling a little bit to the provision for the ministry isn't there. And that's, see, that's when what you believe really comes out. What do you really believe in? And Garrett always says, you know, God doesn't bless us so that we can then bless ourselves. And we do definitely live in an age and an area of consumerism. And so you're going to spend your time doing something. you know, and I have really been touched by, you know, the parable of the talents and the two sons. Mm-hmm. And what it doesn't really matter what we say. It matters what we really do.
Oh, amen.
And so I think this, again, the biggest stumbling block to people is, what difference can I really make? We work so well together because I'm very practical. You know, again, I grew up on, you know, kind of on the streets. I'm very ask a question and get it answered. And I sat down. I said, okay, Lord, let's do the math. What difference mm-hmm. can you make? And I looked at one couple who supported a pastor. And we'll just say the price was a fast food meal out for two was about the average. And they supported a pastor for a year. So I calculated out how many people attended that church, how many people had come to Christ that year, their children. And after 12 months, there was 137 people. So what can you do? You can bring 137 people to Christ. And that yeah. you know, I remember that you can make a big difference with a little, because it's really not you. One of the few things God says to test him in is what we do with our finances or anything that we hold of value. And once we put that up on the altar, then he takes it and he does the work. And that has been the message of Ethnos, is that is the answer to your question is, no, we didn't see it, because we really don't do anything except put ourselves in alignment with what God is telling us to do.
You know, I'd like to just add something to this. And that is that recently I did a program about the growth of Islam, and an article that appeared in USA Today on the back page of the first section, indicating that the growth of Islam is so great right now that the population of Islamic people will equal that of Christian people by the year 2050. Hmm. In 2070, we will be behind in terms of the number of Christians as over against the number of Islamic people. Now, we love Muslim people, mm-hmm. but we are in a battle, a spiritual battle. That battle is not going to be won for Jesus Christ by ordained ministers. Mm-hmm. It's going to take people like you guys, lay people, who catch a vision. What is so exciting is that you are walking right into that conflict, that battle for the souls of a nation, the Philippines. Mm-hmm. You are the kind of people that is going to make the difference for the cause of Jesus Christ worldwide. Talk isn't enough. It matters what we do. Mm-hmm. And God has led you step by step. It's such a wonderful story. You don't get the whole picture at the very beginning. You take a step and God mm-hmm. leads you to the next one and the next one. I trust that your story, Garrett and Sarah Reed and Ethnos Christian International, the organization that you founded right here from the U.S., mm-hmm. from a window washing company, mm-hmm. that others will hear the same call. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask, if listeners hear this call, let us know. Maybe there's a way that we can get you on Compassion Radio to tell your story. We need this kind of passion for the word and passion to share the word, not to hoard it. And you guys are a wonderful model. Mm-hmm. I think, for all of our listeners to follow. Thanks so much for being with us on Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Norm. So much for having us. It really was a pleasure. We never get tired of just remembering all the things that God has done.
That's wonderful. Right now, we are hurting at Compassion Radio. I think at this point in this month, this is the lowest donor response that we have had in at least 20 years. We can't deliver these programs without income from our listeners. I'm not ragging on our listeners. There are reasons for this, but they are the most generous, compassionate, and I would say evangelistically committed audience of any radio program in America. I'm speaking to you, my listening friend, and my partner. That's why I'm coming to you right now and saying we need an immediate uptick. Jimmy, we are behind this month $80,000. We cannot sustain this program if that deficit continues through the end of the month. It's going to affect not only the projects that we have, but it's also going to make it impossible for us to continue on many of the stations and networks that carry this program. So it's not a threat. It's simply a way of saying, as my dad used to say, we need to tell you. You deserve to know, and we have the right to tell you. Please, my listening friend, become a partner right now. You may be able to give $8. That will help. You may be able to give $180. I'm building on that $80,000, as you can tell, Jimmy. You may be able to give $180. Maybe you can give $800. Maybe you can give $8,000. We need a surge of giving right now. Give, my friend, not to us, but to the Lord and to those who are suffering around the world. Thank you so much. We thank you for your help.
For your gift of $25 or more this month, request your copy of a brand new book called The Politically Incorrect Jesus by Joe Battaglia. Give us a call at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or connect with us online anytime at CompassionRadio.com. Our number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be back with you again Monday for the next Compassion Radio.